Well, I don't know what God's got in store for us tonight. He really hasn't told me what it is, but dare I surrender the pulpit? A double header, is this?
Oh yeah, praise.
Oh, bless God, go at it.
Praise God. Oh, praise God for the word. Psalm 107 verse 20 says, He sent His word to heal them. And who was His word? His word was Jesus. And I'd like for you to all to go to John 5. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. In John chapter 5, and you can follow me as I go through this. Jesus was entering Jerusalem. And as He passes by the marketplace where the sheep were off to the side, there was the pool. And around this pool were many, many laying to the side. Some were paralyzed. Some could not walk, brother. Some could not see. But the word says that at a time an angel would come down from God and would turmoil or trouble up the water. And the first one to get down into the water would be healed instantly of whatever they had. And as Jesus walked by, He said, as He looked down, "Wilt thou be healed? Wilt thou be healed?" And what was He saying right then? He was placing it right upon the man. "Wilt thou be healed?" The immediate response came back and says, "Well, Lord, now you know I have no man to help me get down to the water. By the time I get there, someone else has already taken my place." And the Lord looked at him and says, "Arise, take up your pallet and walk." And the man was immediately made whole. But the word says, "Wilt thou be healed?" And shortly thereafter, in the Lord's ministry of only 3 short years, He found Himself in the garden. And the tree, Greek word, as He knelt in prayer, He was face down, flat upon the ground before the Father. And He says, "Father, let this cup pass from me." And we get into the full Greek of what God was speaking to him right then. He said, "I'm sorry, my son. I'm sorry. There's no other way." He said, "Father, do I have to go on the cross?" He said, "I'm sorry, my son. There is no other way." For God loved each and every one of us so very, very much. Wednesday night, my brother, Vic, ministered on the word, which is always beautiful. And he got into the book of Genesis. And as we go down Genesis, it tells us of that start of creation. And it starts out in the beginning, God created. And as we know, that word of Hebrew for gods is a multiple God. But God didn't want any argument from mankind from there on out. For a little later on, He wants it very clear to all. For He says, let us make man. God the Father, God the Son, and Jesus. So Jesus knew. He knew when He came and took the life of man that He was going on that cross. And He says, "Father, let this cup pass from me." And the Father responded and says, "I'm sorry, my son, there is no other way." But in 1 Peter 2:24, the word says that Jesus Christ took all. Oh, that's a beautiful word. It can only be translated one way. All of our sins, all of our diseases, and all of our infirmities. And it says, "And by His stripes we were healed." And if we were healed, we are healed. And brother, I say unto you this night, Jesus drug the cross. He took the stripes. upon his back. But one of the biggest boo-boos that has ever been made by a preacher of the word is when they have read the end of our Lord's life on earth. There is a way of saying it is finished. One of the biggest boobs that man has made is when they take that cross and show Jesus Christ as a dead Savior on the cross. For when Jesus Christ went on that cross, while he dragged the cross through the streets, while he took those stripes on his back, while the crown of thorns were placed upon his head, God was with him at all times. God was with him at all times except that final moment when Jesus had to take all of your sins, my sins, and everyone else's sins. When he had to take all of our diseases on him right then. And at that one moment, God had to look away. God could not look on upon it. And Jesus was alone. But with that last note of triumph, Jesus said, "It is finished." And he says, "It is finished for Satan. You're finished. You're finished forever. You're defeated now. It's all over. I've won. I've come here and I've done what my Father said." And so from this word, yes, brother, you are healed. In the last several years, we have been blessed. Oh, we have been so blessed. In our ministry, as we have prayed with hundreds and hundreds of people. But so oftentimes people will come and say, "Will you pray for me, or will you pray with me that God will heal me?" No, can't do that. Can't do it. It's not scriptural. The word's the answer. He says, "I have healed you." He says, "I have healed you." He says, "Don't ask me to go on that cross again." He said, "I did it once and once for all mankind. It's finished. It's finished." He says, "Reach up. Reach up and receive. Receive that healing." Mark 11, 24 says, "When you pray, the desires of your heart," and what? "And believe that you receive them, then ye shall have them." That's the only way you're going to get an answer to your prayer. It's the only way you're going to get your healing. When you reach up and receive it, say, "Lord, I do receive. I do receive." The Lord that we serve, oh, praise God. He's not hard hearing. He doesn't wear a hearing aid. His word says he can't lie. And it says that he wants to bless us. That if we asked anything according to his will, he heareth us. So that says, don't wear a hearing aid. And what's his will? He says, "I want each and every one of you to prosper." Now he says, "I just don't want you to prosper financially. I just don't want you to prosper materially." He says, "I don't want you just to be in the very best of health." But he said, "First of all, I want you to prosper spiritually. For his word says he desires that each and every one of us be born again. His word says he wants no man to perish." He says, "I want you to prosper emotionally and mentally." But he says to be in the very, very best of health. So brother, I speak now for all your brothers and sisters that we are in full agreement with you. Yes. We are in full agreement with you right now. That we reach out right now and we bound the devil away from you in full agreement. And not only the devil, but all those little imps that come by. For the word says we're not fighting flesh and blood. So we bind his principalities. We bind his powers of this world. His rulers of darkness and his spiritual wickedness in high places. In the full name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we add with you our agreement. That our agreement, yes. We add with you because the word says so. The word says so, that you are healed. And each day we're going to keep praising the Lord. We're going to keep praising Him and praising Him and thanking Him until that full manifestation. Until that full manifestation, brother, has taken place. Yes. Now, brother, you may not know it, but last Wednesday night, you almost got out of that wheelchair. Last Wednesday night, you almost got out of that wheelchair and walked. Because the Spirit of the Lord almost pulled you out. Right upstairs. Praise God. And He's going to do it. We're not to question, folks. We're not to question. The Word says, His time is not our time. His ways are not our ways. But when a brother can praise the Lord in the wheelchair, it's so much easier if you're Charles Atlas to be walking around your big burly muscles running up and down in it. Praise the name of Jesus. I love you, brother. Praise God.
Praise God.
I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the vine and I'm a branch. Without you, I can do nothing. Last October, I was driving home from work, and in the natural, I was late, I thought. It was about 7 o'clock. I was in a hurry. In the natural, I was kind of hacked off because I was about an hour late. But the Lord, He'd quickened in my spirit the last few months. Be instant in season and out. And I was driving along and I saw a pickup truck stopped. And I stopped behind it. And I looked over the side and there was a car in the ditch. And I asked the one guy that stopped, I said, "What's happened here?" He said, these two guys just ran off the road. I went on down there, and the car was just almost completely demolished. One guy was about 60 or 70 feet from the car. The other guy was laying there, just blood pouring out of him. He looked to be dead. If he wasn't dead, he sure looked it. I started to walk away from him. I walked up the car for a minute. I was just trying to gather my thoughts. And the Lord said, "You go back and lay hands on that man, and that man shall live." I said, "Lord, I thank you for raising him up at least long enough to accept you." And I went down and I prayed for him. And the Lord did raise him up. He started breathing again. And what raised that man up was faith in Jesus Christ. It's recorded in Acts 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Comes on down, it says, "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob the God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath made this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. In Acts chapter 4, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they had taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they said, By what power, by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. It's Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, that you're healed, brother, that anyone in this place is healed, if they release faith in his name. I'd like to share a little more. When I prayed for that man, I praise the Lord I was there. As in any bad accident, people gather around. There was about 150, 200 people there. And all the people are just looking at the natural. They're just, you know, looking how bad things were. But that man, he was the man that was on his way to heaven or hell. He accepted Jesus Christ. And I praise the Lord for that. His brother cursed me. I told him, I said, on the way to the hospital, you just talked to him about Jesus. And his brother said, hey, I don't want to hear any more of this Jesus stuff, even though his brother was alive and had accepted Jesus. But I praise the Lord that I was there and that I was a vessel used in the Lord. And whenever any of us are driving along the highway and we see someone, a vehicle stopped or someone walking along, we don't have to go by what the world says. We don't have to say, hey, you stop, you're going to get robbed or something like this nature. Because we have Jesus and we can do all things through him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. While you were sharing that about stopping along the road, I've never been one to pick up hitchhikers, but one of our local evangelists is a hitchhiker picker-upper. He's back here at the controls and the tape table. And this county of ours just must be heavily populated with Christian hitchhikers because of that man's ministry. He's picked up one fellow last week. You mind me sharing your testimony, Jerry? And took him home with him. And the fellow had been on drugs and just kind of messed up in a lot of different ways. Brought him to the church that night for prayer meeting. He received the Lord Jesus, was baptized in the Holy Ghost, and delivered from his habit, delivered also from the confusion that was in his mind. The poor man had just thoughts just going like this, and you know what the devil does? He just throws all kinds of confusing thoughts at you, just like so that you can't think clearly. He had his mind filled with so much junk that he couldn't think or see receive anything clearly. And then the next day, the thing that is beautiful is oftentimes you minister like that, but you never see the fellow again. But the next night, he was back to church again, and you could see him. He was new. He was different. How many of you were here Wednesday night and saw that young man that was here? You wouldn't have known him had you seen him the night before. Praise God. So there is a work to do, you see, in the highways and the byways, in the ditches, you see, as well as in the Peachtree Plazas, wherever we are. Jesus said, you're the soul of the earth. You are the light of the world. And he said, no man lighteth a candle and puts it over under a bushel basket, but he sets it up on a hill where it gives light to all who are around about. That's what he's done with you. That's what he's done with me. You and I are the light of the world. He says, get on the hill and don't put a bushel basket over you. Let people see that the glory of God is upon you and in you. Let them see that there's something different about you. Let them know that there's something special about you. Jesus said, let your good works be seen among men. Let your light so shine that men will see your good works and give glory to your heavenly Father, or your Father who is in heaven. That's the ministry of the church. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to say with me, I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
Because you first loved me.
Because you first loved me.
You didn't care the condition I was in.
You didn't care the condition I was in.
You saw what I could be.
You saw what I could be.
You poured your love out for me.
You poured your love out for me.
It flowed red from Calvary's tree.
It flowed red.
I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
Because you first loved me.
Because you first loved me.
Praise God. I just realized that's poetry, isn't it? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, God ought to be able to do that, shouldn't he? That's not a poem. No, that's a spiritual poem. That's what that's called, is a spiritual poem. Praise the Lord. Let me ask you, please, to open your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. I was going to say, while we were standing here singing, I was thinking about, I would just share with you that since we've had some word ministered tonight, that I would just minister a little bit of word as the Lord would lead. But I've done that in the past, and you all think I don't know what's going on because it doesn't work out the way I say it is. And you're right, I don't know always what's going on. But I know the one who does, and it's him, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so sometimes when we step out ahead of him and declare things that he hasn't told us to declare, we start writing checks on money we don't have in the bank, you see, and we get into trouble. So I'm not going to say that tonight. I'm going to begin to minister out of a verse of Scripture here that the Lord has been giving me all afternoon and all evening since we've been here in the service. I don't know where he's going with it. I don't know whether he'll finish it in 5 minutes or in 2 hours. I don't know whether we're going to minister tonight or not minister. I don't know what this passage of Scripture or related passages may mean to you. I have no idea what your needs are, but I do know this. Earlier in the evening, I invited each and every one of you to pray and ask God what it is that he wanted to, or you wanted him to accomplish tonight. And the only way I know to get those prayers answered is to be as open as I possibly can to the Spirit of the Lord. Because if you've asked him to do something and I've already made up my mind what it is I'm going to do, then God's not going to be able to answer your prayer, and that won't give him any glory or you any joy. So I'm just going to be as open as I know how to the Spirit of the Lord, and we're going to begin to minister out of this verse of Scripture and then let him take it for however he wants to, and whichever direction and whatever length he decides. And not necessarily in time, but rather in, I'm thinking of the total service. Let's just have a word of prayer before we begin, and let the Lord know for sure, and also set ourselves in agreement concerning what we're going to do. Father, we want you to know that we do love you, and we love you deeply. You did send your word, and that word healed us. Your word is the truth, and your truth sets us free and keeps us free. We know that it is your word that causes us to prosper and to be in health. We know, our Father, that it's your word that causes deliverance and freedom to come. We know that it's your word that causes the shackles of the enemy to be broken over us, that we might walk in liberty and in peace and in joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. And so, Father, we're going to just share your word as you lead and trust that this word is especially to minister to the people of God tonight. I open myself, Father, completely to you and to your Spirit, that you may have your way and do whatever it is you want to do. And Father, if you want to do something tonight that we've never done before or we've never even seen done or don't know how to do, that's perfectly all right because you know how to do everything. Your word says that you do everything well. Therefore, if we'll just be open to you, we know that that which you do tonight will be well done. And we give you all of the praise and the glory and honor for it ahead of time, thanking you and praising you for the ministry of your Spirit in our midst. We claim, Father, that every single prayer that was prayed here earlier when we just stood silently before you will be answered before we bring the service to a close. And Father, we give you the right to cause the service to close when you're ready and when you're finished. We're open to you, Father, to do, oh, hallelujah. Glory to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Glory to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. The Lord, he just ministers to me that God's not looking for talented people. He's just looking for willing ones. He's not looking for people with a lot of ability. He's looking for people with willingness and openness. You know, if he could take a poor, dumb fisherman, a fellow by the name of Peter, and he was so miserable that he denied the King of Glory. But God Almighty filled him with the Spirit of the living God. And there was so much power operating in him that as he walked down the street, they laid the sick people along the street so that Peter's shadow might fall upon them. And every place his shadow fell, they rose up and they walked. He took a Pharisee by the name of Saul, who was so wicked that he was killing and jailing Christians. He was destroying those who had trusted and believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God Almighty took him and turned him around and filled him with the Holy Ghost. And they took articles of his clothing. They took handkerchiefs and pieces of his tunic. And they cut them in pieces and they sent them out to those that were sick and oppressed with devils. And when the cloth came in touch with their bodies, they were healed and the devils went out of them. Now that's what God can do with someone who is willing. That's what God's power is able to do in a willing, open vessel. And it's not talented men and gifted women that God is looking for. He's looking for humble children. He's looking for little ones like these that would come and sing about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's looking for grown-ups who will have hearts like these little ones and will be open completely to the power and the Spirit of God so that Jesus Christ can live. God doesn't want you to see Vic Rockhill. See, Vic Rockhill is going to come and go. As a matter of fact, he's already gone. God wants you to see Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's the only one, you see, that has the power to save and heal and deliver and set free and bless. And God doesn't want other people to see you or you or you or you. God wants those people to see Jesus because it's only Jesus. He's the one, you see, that can cause deliverance and salvation and healing and prosperity and the rest of the blessings of God to come. He sent his word. He sent Jesus of Nazareth. And it's Jesus in you that causes the works that he did when he was here in the flesh to take place today. It's the same Jesus operating in you and in me. God's not interested in how much you know. God's not interested in how much ability you have. God's interested in you yielding yourself to him so that he can make you what he wants to make you. It took me a long time to learn that. I figured, well, I'll just work real hard this way, I'll work real hard that way to become what God wants me to be. And all the time he was saying, son, if you don't stop it, I'm going to hit you with my sledgehammer. Praise God, he did. He hit me with his sledgehammer so that I was broken in a million jillion pieces and I wasn't worth anything anymore. And then he took those pieces, you see, that weren't good for anything, and he made a vessel that was good for something. Now, some of you are not sure what that vessel is good for. I'm not sure what that vessel is good for, but I am here to tell you, speaking by the word of faith, I believe, therefore I have spoken, as Paul said, this vessel is good for something. This vessel is good for something in the kingdom of God, and Jesus is using it and will use it. And the more I learn how to yield to him and surrender to him, the more he will use that vessel, you see, to do the things that he is able to do through poor, illiterate fishermen and a wicked, reprobate Pharisees. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. That's God. You see, that's what he wants to do. I better get a microphone. That's not the verse that I was going to speak on. But I want you to know, in case you're not sure, God is all right. He's just all right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know how I lived without him. I don't really know. I don't know how I made it. And I've said to Lois time and time again that I would be afraid to try it without him. I look back over my past and I see that by the world standards, I was reasonably successful and had a reasonably happy life and had a reasonably successful according to the standards of the world. And as men and women would look upon me and upon my family, they say, well, he's got it all together. But since I've come to know Jesus Christ, and as I have yielded to him just a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, more, I've come to such a place in him that I couldn't make it without him anymore. Amen. I couldn't make it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I couldn't run my business without him. I couldn't stand before you without him. I couldn't walk from here to that back door without him. I mean that with all of my heart. I have no confidence whatsoever in myself anymore. As a matter of fact, I have such little confidence in myself that I would not attempt to walk from here to that back door without God in my life. Now, I mean that in all seriousness. I'm not playing with you. I mean that. But I have confidence to go anywhere with him. I have assurance to do anything with him. I have confidence and assurance in him that I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. It's the power of God in me. And the sooner that we, all of us, will get ourselves out of the way and let Jesus flow through us, the sooner we will see the fullness of his glory revealed. Over in the book of Isaiah in the 60th chapter in the first verse, it says this, arise and shine, for the glory of thy God is upon thee. Arise and shine. Don't be moping around. Arise and shine, for the glory of thy God is upon thee. We think, well, that's somebody else. That's Jesus, you know. Or that's Paul. Or that's Peter. Or maybe it's Billy Graham. Or maybe it's Kenneth Hagin. But it surely wouldn't be little old me. I want you to know tonight that if Jesus Christ lives in your heart, that verse is for you. Arise, shine, for the glory of God is already upon thee. Recognize and acknowledge the life of Jesus Christ inside you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning to read at verse number 13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We said this morning that God had made a difference between his children and the rest of the world. We said that God from the very beginning had purposed to separate or sever his children from the rest. We said this morning that it was God's purpose to make a difference, a distinction between that which was clean and that which was unclean, that which was holy and that which was unholy. God's people are to be different. What are some of these differences that are in God's people? We looked at some of them this morning, but I want to look at one tonight that is very, very important. And it's in this 18th verse. The Bible is full of it. This verse particularly. While we, that is those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. In other words, they're temporary, they're not long-lasting. But the things which are not seen are eternal. The children of God are to put their confidence not in what they can see. Now listen to me. There are several of you here tonight that need to have this down deep in your spirit. Not in what we can see, but in what we cannot see. Our assurance and our confidence is in the unseen, not in the seen. Because that which you can see is not permanent. It's only temporary. Jesus said this, heaven and earth will pass away. It's temporary. The things of this earth are temporary. But my word shall never pass away. What's eternal? His word. His word. We are not to look at what we see, but we are to look at what we do not see. We are to look at the Lord God. We're to look at His power. We're to look at His ability. We are to look at His promises. We are to look at His declarations and His assurances, not to look at the present day failures, not to look at the things which are not happening today. Isaiah, the 51st chapter. Now, there are some of you who are here tonight that the enemy is doing a job on to try to destroy and steal the promise of God out of your life. God wants to show you tonight how to prevent him from stealing the promise. Isaiah 51. Remember now that I said that God is eternal. His word is eternal. You cannot see it, but it's eternal. That's what we're to look upon. Isaiah chapter 51, the 12th and 13th verse. We sing the 11th verse, and we love that one. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return. But we never read the 12th and the 13th, which is beautiful. I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass? What's the matter with you, he said, that you would be afraid of a man that's going to die, and forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens, hath laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? He says, look at me. Look at my promised child. Put your sight and your eyes on me. Look at me. Look at my word. Look at my promise. Look at my assurance. Don't look at the danger. Don't fear the circumstances. Don't fear what it looks like. Look at me. Take your eyes off of the problem and look at the answer, he said. In Romans, the first chapter, Paul says, the just, the justified, the righteous, the born again, the children of God. That's what that means. He says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And what is faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the evidence of things not seen and the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of what you cannot see. Paul said here that we as believers are to look upon not what we can see, but what we cannot see. Beloved, if the devil can keep you in the realm of what you can see with your natural eyes. Beloved, if he can keep you groveling around in the circumstances of this life. Beloved, if he can convince you that what you can see is eternal instead of temporary, he'll beat you. But if you'll put your confidence in the eternal word of God and live by the faith of the Son of God who died for us. That's what Paul said. He said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. My life is tied up in faith, the faith of Jesus. I live like that. He said, if you'll live like that, you'll have God's promise. The very chairs that you're sitting in, the very floor that is holding you up, the stones that make this building, the reason you are here tonight, the reason that we have this place to worship in is because there were a group of believers a year ago who said, devil, what you're doing is temporal. We put our eyes on God. We put our eyes on the promise of God. We'll anchor into that thing which we cannot see. The devil says there's no way. God says, I am the way. I'm the way. And this band of believers looked at Jesus and said, we'll not fear man who will die and like the grass be dried up and blow away. We'll look at Jesus. We'll look at him. He's the eternal word. He'll never ever die. He'll never ever pass away. The just shall live by faith. It doesn't matter tonight, beloved, what your problem is. It doesn't matter whether it's financial or physical or emotional. It doesn't make any difference to Jesus. It doesn't matter to him. Whatever it is, he's concerned about it, and he is able to minister to that need, whatever it is. He only asks one thing of you. He said, look not at the things which you can see, but look at what you cannot see. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me, he says. Look at me, beloved. Look at me. Why is the Church of Jesus Christ so mired in defeat? Why is it not the triumphant, victorious, glorious church that the Bible talks about? It's because for so long, those that have loved the Lord Jesus have not known how we were to live. The Word says we are to live by faith. We're to walk by faith. We're to put our trust in what we cannot see. Now, I say to you tonight, there are some that may be saying, how can you really do that? You really can't. You really can't do that. I declare unto you that you can. If you are renewed in Christ Jesus, if you are new on the inside, he lived that way. And if his life is in you, so can you. But what do you do when you don't have any money? I don't know what to do. I can't tell you what to do. But I can tell you who can. He can. Peter came to him one day and he said, Lord, we don't have any money and they're giving me a bad time down at the temple because we've not paid our tax. He said, Peter, get yourself a hook and a line and go down to the sea. And he said, throw the hook in. He didn't tell him to put any bait on it. He says, throw the hook in. And the first fish that you pull out, he said, look in the fish's mouth. Bless God, do you know what happened? See, I think if it had been many of us, we'd have said, oh, Lord, come on, you're joshing. Wouldn't it be, maybe we ought to get a loan. Maybe we ought to hit a brother up. Say, you're really kidding. I mean, that is crazy. Yeah, it is crazy. The Bible says that God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God has asked us to do foolish things from time to time in order to receive his blessings. But Peter blessed the Lord, he didn't know any different. You remember he was the one that walked on water and he went down to the sea and he did throw his line in. And sure enough, you know what happened? A fish got on it and out came the fish and he put his hand in the fish's mouth. Do you know how much was in there? One shekel. Now guess how much the tax was for the temple tax? Half a shekel. So now Peter had to pay his tax and the Lord's tax. Half a shekel apiece. One half plus one half makes one shekel. One shekel in the fish's mouth. Do you know that if the tax was 2.5 shekels apiece, there'd have been 5 shekels in the fish's mouth? Now, I don't know how to meet that need, but he does know how. And if you and I will look at the things which we cannot see rather than that which we can, Peter should have said, oh, no. But he looked at what Jesus said. He looked at the words of the Lord. He said, well, if he said it, his words are eternal. They'll never fail. Everything else will fail, but his words will never fail. I'm going down there and throw that hook in, and he did. The same thing applies to you and to me tonight. God's word is the same today as it was the day that Jesus spoke it along the shore of Galilee. And if you need a shekel for your temple tax, God has a way for you to receive that shekel if you'll obey the word of God, if you believe him, if you'll put your trust in what you cannot see rather than in what you can. Now, I don't know what the Lord is saying to each of you individually, but I believe that the Lord is taking this little truth, which is not new to most of you, is taking this little truth and ministering it to many of you to very specific needs that you have. And the Spirit of God is already speaking to you concerning that need and is saying to you, will you please not put your trust in what you see? But please, beloved child, put your trust in what you can't see. Put it in the eternal word of a living God who loves you and who cares for you. God cares so much for you, so much for you. Let us pray. Father, I thank you that you do care for us beyond anything that we can conceive. You said that eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the mind of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him, but that they are revealed unto us by the Spirit of God. We know, Father, that we have not received understanding yet of all that you have done for us and are doing and want to do. But, Father, we want to thank you from the bottom of our heart for that which you have given us revelation of by your Spirit. You've shown us so much. And we ask you, Father, that you'd forgive us for our unwillingness to just trust you simply and believe you, because it just boggles our minds so that you could care so much. But we know you do. We know that you have made every provision for us. Therefore, we make our confession with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We'll not permit want to lord over us. We'll not permit lack to bring us into bondage. For Jesus came to give us life and give it abundantly. We know that abundant life includes having our prayers answered, our needs met. It includes the love of God in its fullness. It includes joy unspeakable and full of glory. It includes peace that passes all understanding. It includes food in our bellies and clothes on our back. It includes families that are united in the love of God. It includes whole bodies and adequate material resources to meet the needs of our families and to give unto others who are less fortunate. We believe all those promises, Father. You made them. Bless you, Lord, if you made them, you have the ability to perform them for us. We receive by faith tonight, Father, our needs met. We thank you ahead of time for each and every need. We lay hold on them by faith. We say to you, Father, that as we remember right now that which we need the most, we say by faith, Father, thank you, Lord, for my need met. Now, every one of you, I want you to say that aloud with me. Thank you, Lord, for my need met. Say it again. Thank you, Lord, for my need met. Say it one more time. Thank you, Lord, for my need met. We believe, Father, therefore we have spoken. We're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we hear. We're not moved by the circumstances, but we are moved only by your word and what we believe. That's all that will move us. You said, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. And bless you, Father, we cannot be removed, for we trust in you. Therefore, we are as Mount Zion. The devil won't move us. Circumstances won't move us. Men won't move us. Nothing will move us, for we put our trust in you. Now, Father, we anchor our faith in your word. We take a promise to anchor our faith on. For you said that you're not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you should repent or change your mind. We know that once you've declared a thing, it's fact. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It'll not pass, but it will come to pass. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name for what you're doing. We give you thanks by faith in your word. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let me ask you just to take your Bibles and turn to the 5th Psalm, Psalm 125. If you're unfamiliar with that psalm, and let's just sing that. Psalm 125. Praise God. Praise God. Now I want you to know that this passage of Scripture works. And it's a good song to learn because it's a good one to sing to the devil. Now I want you to know he's familiar with the song because I've sung it to him before and he knows it. He knows the song. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed but abideth forever. Let me ask you to stand, please. And let's just sing it and we'll sing our confession of faith.
They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people.
Do you have to do in order to not be removed? Trust in the Lord, all right? And why is it that you can't be removed? Because the Lord is around you. Because the Lord God has established a wall around you. His word says that if you trust in Him, He surrounds you with His power, with His presence, and you cannot be removed.
Hallelujah.
They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people.
To be as Mount Zion.
Forever.
That's what it says. Forever. It doesn't ever stop. God's presence and His protection lasts forever and ever.